Hey, welcome to Spectrum Sessions. I'm Nicole Dubiak, therapist, autistic human, and your guide for real talk about life on the spectrum. This is a place where we get honest about mental health, relationships, and all the weird, wonderful parts of being human. Whether you're neurodivergent, think you might be, or just want to understand us better, grab your headphones and let's dive in. Welcome back to Spectrum Sessions. Today we're exploring a topic that doesn't get nearly enough attention, PMDD and neurodivergence. Premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD, is a severe form of PMS that can bring intense mood disturbances that impact daily life. Though research on PMS and PMDD has centered around neurotypical individuals, the few studies that exist reveal that neurodivergent people, especially those with autism or ADHD, can be more severely and uniquely impacted. In this episode, we're breaking down what PMDD is, how it uniquely impacts neurodivergent individuals, and ways to navigate. Let's get into it. So what is PMDD? According to Johns Hopkins, the exact cause of PMDD is not known. It may be an abnormal reaction to normal hormone changes that happen with each menstrual cycle. Symptoms of PMDD start 1 to 2 weeks before menstruation and end within a few days after your period begins. These symptoms disrupt daily living tasks, and symptoms of PMDD can often be so severe that people have trouble functioning at home, at work, and within their relationships during this time frame. And when they talk about trouble functioning, they mean that it can be as often as and as severe as frequently experiencing the desire to quit your job, change careers, go back to school for something else, end your relationship, end a friendship, all sorts of things. It causes serious strain in every aspect of your life. I think that PMDD is another reason why neurodivergent females can be mistaken to have bipolar disorder or borderline personality disorder. The way I describe my experience with PMDD, it's such a sharp shift that happens, and I obviously am more aware of it now that I have, you know, been noticing this pattern in myself, and then I have a formal diagnosis of PMDD, but it happens so quickly, and as soon as something happens, I'm like, okay, I need to go into my period tracker, check where I'm at. Like, is this starting again already? It's like, you don't even get enough downtime to kind of like appreciate when your stability comes back and when you're going through it. For me, it happens typically 10 to 14 days before my period starts, and everything kind of gets distorted and confusing, and your sense of self becomes unstable and shaky. Everything sucks. Nothing's good. A lot of all or nothing thinking happens during this phase for me. Nothing feels good. Nothing really brings you joy. Your accomplishments mean nothing. Your self-worth kind of just goes in the gutter. Your friendships feel like all of the issues are amplified. Nobody's genuine. Everybody hates you and you hate them in return. Nobody's doing things good enough for you and your standards. People are taking advantage of you. You have zero energy despite sleeping, 8, 10, 12 hours a night, taking naps throughout the day. You crave unhealthy foods and binge eat, but at the same time, like, your taste buds are distorted to where things that sound good, you eat them and then they aren't good anymore. So not even your cravings are right. So it feels like you can just get nothing right. That's extremely frustrating. And for me, this seeps into every area, including work. And I struggle in general with a sense of like, what the heck am I doing with my life? I think for me, figuring out I'm autistic, like, for one, my end goal was never to be a therapist, but it's like when I'm going through PMDD, everything is amplified to the point where I literally contact programs, the certificates. Like, I want any alternate avenue aside from what I'm currently doing. And then once that passes, like, I can come back down to reality and like deal with what I'm doing. But honestly, it's gotten to the point for me where it's like I crave that like disconnect, because when you're going through PMDD, like social interactions are harder, especially being neurodivergent. Everything is like magnified by 10. For me, it's like, what can I do that's not working directly with people? I literally looked into and researched and reached out to like going back to school to become a nail tech. I heavily debate going back for my PhD all of the time, but when you get into this mode, it's like you do the reach out, and I think this is where the ADHD comes in too. You do the reach out and the contact and you gather information, and then when you realize the reality of the situation, you get too overwhelmed and it's like, I'm not actually going to do that. And so again, it's like so defeating because it's like you're unhappy. The alternative is also not fitting. So where do you go from there? So it's hard to navigate. And I really firmly believe that people with severe menstrual disorders, PMDD, endometriosis, fibroids, all of that sort of thing should be given mandatory time off of work. Like, seriously. That'll probably never happen, but that's a big wish. So as far as like symptoms of PMDD, I describe some of my symptoms, but symptoms in general can include depressed mood, increased anxiety, mood swings, increased sensitivity to rejection, which as an ADHDer, I already have, increased irritability, anger, or both, conflicts with family, coworkers, or friends, concentration problems. Again, somebody with ADHD, not a good time. Fatigue, lethargy, or lack of energy. Changes in appetite, such as binge eating, overeating, or craving certain foods. And changes in sleep patterns, such as excessive sleeping or difficulty sleeping. And so how does this differ from PMS, right? So symptoms of PMS are typically more mild, and they don't impact your functioning. And so symptoms of PMS include bloating or weight gain, headaches, backaches and cramps, joint or muscle pain, constipation or diarrhea, feeling depressed or irritable, having some crying spells, some social withdrawal, poor concentration, acne flare-ups, change in libido, things like that. So again, there's like obviously overlap, but the thing is, it doesn't impact your ability to function. PMS symptoms usually start about 5 to 11 days before your period begins, and symptoms typically end around the time that your period begins or within a few days of it starting. And so as far as PMDD, the onset can begin 1 to 2 weeks before menstruation, and they end within, again, a few days after your period begins, often within the first 2 or 3 days after your period starts. I know for me, like I've always gone my whole life actually preferring to have my period despite the severe levels of pain I experience on my period, because PMDD, like the 2 weeks leading up to it, they're so bad that I would rather just have my period. And honestly, as soon as I do get my period, it's like a switch flips and I'm me again. And it's so crazy. Like instantly, as soon as my period begins, I'm like sane again. But so if you can do the math on this, right, like women get very few good days out of the month where we're level-headed and our hormones are stable. And so with PMDD, I only get two good weeks out of the month. Not usually. It's more like, I feel like it's more like 10 days. A study that was conducted in Germany investigated the pattern of PMDD symptoms in 74 women, and the researchers were able to identify 3 distinct patterns or subtypes of PMDD. According to the study, the majority of women experienced symptoms only in the week leading up to their menstrual period. Throughout that week, the symptoms became increasingly intense before subsiding once they started menstruating. The researchers referred to this group as the moderate premenstrual weak group, and that accounted for about 65% of the women. The study also found that 17.5% of women with PMDD experienced severe symptoms throughout the entire 2 weeks of their luteal phase, which spans from ovulation to menstruation. These symptoms were long-lasting and highly intense, but quickly disappeared once menstruation began. Women who exhibited this pattern described having PMDD as living a half-life, as they experienced symptoms for half of their menstrual cycle. The researchers referred to this group as a severe full luteal phase group. I would fall under this group. Then there was another group, another 17.5% of women experienced PMDD symptoms even during their menstrual period. These symptoms occur during the premenstrual week and have an extremely intense peak, which is why these women often refer to it as their hell week. The researchers named this group the severe premenstrual week, late offset group. Currently, there are some treatment options available, but they do not work for everyone. For example, some women find relief with SSRIs, while others do not respond well enough to this treatment. And most of the research that I found, despite some women responding to SSRIs, generally the general consensus is that there's really no good treatment, which is unfortunate. So let's talk about the prevalence of PMDD in autistic and ADHD individuals. So most studies on PMS and PMDD are, of course, centered around neurotypical individuals. There are a handful of studies that explore the unique challenges that neurodivergent individuals face. For example, one of the symptoms of PMDD I mentioned is increased sensitivity to rejection, which, again, it does not bode well for those of us with rejection-sensitive dysphoria. For those who didn't tune into our ADHD episode, rejection-sensitive dysphoria, also known as RSD, is characterized by an intense and exaggerated emotional response to perceived or actual rejection. And we also have unique sensory sensitivities and challenges with emotional regulation as neurodivergent folks that can be compounded by PMS and PMDD. A study conducted in 2008, of course, it's old, by Obeidi and Puri, found 92% of autistic women met the criteria for PMDD compared to 11% of non-autistic peers. And so, like I said, this study is unfortunately old and the sample sizes were very small, so not a very accurate representation. I tried to look and find newer studies and it was really difficult. I did find one study that was conducted in 2022 by Groneman et al., and they found that there was no increase in PMDD in autistic populations compared to non-autistic populations. They did, however, find an increase in menopausal complaints in autistic individuals. And these were honestly the only two studies that I could really dig for and find. Something else that I want to touch upon in this episode is the role of histamine and PMDD. So this is a newer public-facing area of focus, I feel, of course, because women's health is always cast aside, but we're starting to really examine the role of histamine in PMDD symptoms. So what is histamine? Histamine is a chemical compound that plays an important role in the body's immune system. It is released by cells called mast cells and basophils in response to various triggers, such as allergic reactions, infections, injuries, and inflammation. Histamine has been found to rise and fall with estrogen levels during the menstrual cycle, particularly before ovulation and during the luteal phase. This makes histamine a likely contributor to premenstrual mood swings and bloating and breast tenderness. There's actually an antihistamine in Midol, which is a common over-the-counter pain reliever for period cramps. And it's almost like researchers know this, but it's not openly public knowledge for whatever reason until recently. I don't know if it's because talking about the mechanisms surrounding periods or periods in general is like taboo for whatever reason, or because women's health is just so neglected, or both, or another reason I haven't thought of, I'm not sure. So if you're listening to this, this is not medical advice, but if you are experiencing PMDD symptoms, maybe discuss taking antihistamines, which block mast cell release, with your doctor and see if some of your symptoms improve. So there's two different types of histamine blockers, H1 blockers, which include Zyrtec, Claritin, Benadryl, that sort of thing. And they target more allergic responses in the body. And then there's H2 blockers, such as Pepcid, which target more digestive responses. Zantac was actually an H2 blocker. Zantac is back on the shelves, but it actually has the same ingredient in Pepcid, so there's really no difference between Pepcid and Zantac, because when Zantac was taken off the shelves and the whole cancer-causing debacle, they changed the formula, and now it's the same ingredient in Pepcid. But ever since Zantac was taken off the shelves, like, my symptoms have sucked. I miss the old Zantac. I really do. It was really helpful for me personally. Also, again, antihistamines are not a one-size-fits-all type of approach. Sometimes they don't work for people. Sometimes, you know, it's just not indicated. So again, like, consult with a doctor. Don't take what I'm saying as medical advice, but there are things non-medically that you can do as well. You know, managing stress is super important. Heightened levels of stress increase mast cells that are released. So implementing, you know, better sleep hygiene leading up to your period, trying to get more gentle exercise in, like walking or yoga, doing some mindfulness practices such as guided meditations, deep breathing techniques, things like that to reduce your stress levels beforehand are also super important. I want to talk about three more things. I want to talk about highlighting, you know, how difficult it is being neurodivergent in this world, but I really want to focus too on today's episode highlighting the, like, neurobiology behind PMDD, what we've come to find so far. And I also want to talk about the suicidality that comes along with PMDD. I think that when we think about PMDD, we also need to be thinking about suicide, you know, prevention and management of crises that arise during this period of time. The research shows that upon a qualitative review, women with PMDD are almost 7 times at higher risk of suicide attempt, and almost 4 times is likely to exhibit suicidal ideation. Similarly, women with PMS are also at increased risk of suicidal ideation, but not for suicide attempt. I think this is extremely important information. 7 times higher risk of suicide attempt. That's crazy. And neurodivergent individuals, to begin with, are also already at increased risk. And so when you throw this into the mix, that's scary territory, and that really needs to be highlighted. And if you have PMDD, or if you're neurodivergent and you struggle with suicidal ideation or have had suicide attempts, just know that you're not alone. I'm going to be talking about the role of histamine in PMDD. Before I get into that, I want to talk about what we know so far about the neurobiology of PMDD. Recent studies have been doing MRIs of the brain and kind of focusing on areas of the brain that are compromised in individuals with PMDD. And so in this study that I came across, they found women with PMDD displayed smaller gray matter volumes compared to healthy controls at the whole brain level. More specifically, women with PMDD present smaller gray matter volume, especially in the lingual, fusiform, inferior occipital, and cerebellar areas, and subcortical regions such as the amygdala and putamen. I am gonna talk about these brain regions that are impacted and their primary functions. So the lingual gyrus is for visual processing, like letters, reading, also responsible for dreams. The fusiform gyrus, its primary functions are face and word recognition and color processing. The inferior occipital gyrus is responsible for visuospatial processing, object and color recognition. The cerebellum is responsible for motor coordination, balance, motor learning, The amygdala is responsible for emotion, particularly fear. It's also responsible for memory and social cognition. And the putamen is responsible for motor control, learning, reward, and cognitive function. So if you think about all the ways that these areas are impacted, they're impairing very basic functioning, right? Emotional processing, visual processing, motor coordination, emotions, learning. So no wonder why people with PMDD struggle with all of these things. I feel like when I'm experiencing PMDD, I'm more clumsy, more forgetful. The brain fog is on level 100, especially, again, like I said, coupled with the ADHD. I'm very bad with my autism at facial recognition, and so I'm sure that when I'm going through PMDD, it's worsened. I haven't really put that pattern together, but knowing that now, I'm probably going to try to see if that's the case. But I am definitely more clumsy. That makes a lot of sense, and I just wanted to give a little bit of background on the neurobiology of PMDD as to like what we understand so far. Also, I just want to be like real and raw at the end of this episode and kind of check in and talk about the difficulties of life. It's been really difficult for me to get back into like consistently putting out episodes. I feel like I've lost a lot of steam with that. I just don't really have a lot of time. I am finding it as if like because there has not been huge success with my podcast, like it's reached a decent audience, but just because there hasn't been that like huge influx of, you know, positive reception, it's just been difficult for me to find like the willpower to keep doing this, in addition to like coping with being chronically ill and neurodivergent and like working two jobs full time. So it's been a lot, but I'm gonna try my best to stick with it and kind of just talk about whatever the heck I feel like talking about and kind of take, you know, pressure off of myself as to like the standards I was having about scripting and editing and researching and doing all of the things. I do feel like, again, I want to get, you know, really honest and raw about the struggles that autistic people face, more so than just talking about, you know, late diagnosis and learning to be yourself and unmask and deal with social interactions and have more self-compassion. Like, that's important, but there's so much that goes into being autistic, ADHD, neurodivergent, that I feel like is just not accurately portrayed and discussed. I think I've just felt really beaten down by life lately in a myriad of ways. There's just been so much happening in my universe that it is hard to stay afloat and not be melting down and shutting down and having zero energy to do anything outside of work and playing Stardew Valley and sleeping. Stardew Valley has been my hyperfixation as of late. Typically, I am a Sims girly when I'm overwhelmed, but I tried Stardew Valley back in 2020, I believe, and I just couldn't get into it at that time. And I was like, you know what, let me pull my Switch out, let me try it again. And thank God I did, because I'm obsessed with it now. And it's been super, like, comforting and just a way to dissociate after seeing clients all day, every day. And it's been a really fun time. But so much so that I feel like I fall into these pits of, like, catering to my, you know, enjoyment and relaxation, that it's like I don't push myself to do the things that are harder, like recording this podcast and editing it and putting it out. So yeah, it's just been a little bit difficult, but I'm trying. And I know I lost a ton of traction after taking a break for 7 months. Why wouldn't I? It's understandable. But again, it's hard to be showing up for yourself and doing something that takes a lot of work when you're not really seeing much benefit or like connection from it. For me, it's like, you know, changes, right? Like Brandon and I, when we were still working on this together, we set out for what the episodes were going to look like for season two. And we scripted like 4 of them and we recorded 2 of them, I think. And then, you know, things kind of shifted and they got kind of chaotic. And like I said in the last episode, after my surgery, things just, you know, became increasingly difficult for me. And then Brandon, you know, had his thing he wanted to focus on and stepped back. And so I was like, how do I start this over in a way that feels manageable and like good for me? And so it's just taken a lot of reflection and time. And I think I also worry about negative, like, I don't want to be negative all the time about like the struggles of being neurodivergent, because there are a lot of great things as well, and I'm not gonna undermine that in any way. But the struggles are so much more than what is seen and talked about, even by neurodivergent people with lived experience themselves. Like, I feel like we're just so, you know, kind of, we just have it ingrained in us that you need to comply, you need to mold yourself, you need to do this, you need to do that, you're too much, your emotions are too much, you're so sensitive, why do you care about that? And so I think we filter, like, just talking about the reality. And the difficulties are not just circumstantial. The difficulties are every day, all day. And I don't get a choice as to what days I function better and to what days I don't function at all. That's outside of my control. And that's just the honest truth. And so, again, it's, you know, it's running into difficulties and falling into, like, pitfalls and holes and, like, trying to dig yourself out and find a way forward. And it's work. And, like, it's already so much work just existing in this world that is not built for us. I do want to talk about the real side of masking and the real struggles of masking, and the real autistic anxiety and the distinction between autistic anxiety and neurotypical anxiety, which there's been more research coming out on this, and I'm so thankful for that fact. I want to talk about just the bias against neurodivergent individuals, how that plays out in companies, in job interviews, in your ability to get a promotion. I want to talk about a lot of things, and I hope that I continue to have the stamina to do so. That's a wrap on today's episode of Spectrum Sessions. I hope this conversation shed some light on the connection between PMDD and neurodivergence and helped you feel more seen and understood. If this episode was helpful to you, don't forget to share it with someone who you might also think would benefit from it. I'd also love to hear your thoughts. Have you experienced PMDD as a neurodivergent person? What's helped you manage? Let me know. Thanks for tuning in. Stay kind and stay curious.